This is Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Adam Ragusea, in for Meghna Chakrabarty. Coming up, The Lifetime of a Fact, a new book and conversation about the relationship between journalism and storytelling, fact and truth.
And speaking of truth, fact, and the written word, here's the latest in the long-running case of Boston mobster James Whitey Bulger. It turns out that before he was arrested, after 16 years on the run, he may have had some literary aspirations. Federal prosecutors have revealed that they've recovered two documents apparently written by Bulger.
One is entitled My Life in the Irish Mafia Wars, which was seized back in 1995 from his South Boston home. Law enforcement officials also recovered a second autobiographical document from the apartment in Santa Monica where he lived while he was on the lam for 16 years.
Now, it's not clear if Bulger is the actual author, but prosecutors say they might use the writings as evidence against him when he goes on trial next November for racketeering and murder.
Meanwhile, Bulger's longtime companion, Catherine Gregg, will not be facing trial. She cut a controversial deal with federal prosecutors to plead guilty to harboring a fugitive and identity fraud.
Journalist Richard Lair has been following the story for years. He's a BU journalism professor and the co-author of Black Mass. He's also working on a biography about Whitey Bulger. And Dick Lair, this sounds like a bit of a win for Whitey Bulger. What's your top line response to this plea deal for Catherine Gregg?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think the main show is Whitey. And for him, it's good news. If he had any doubts or if the public had any doubts that that Catherine Gregg would start talking, those are put to rest now with this plea agreement.
So what's the fallout from this?
I was looking forward to Catherine Gregg's trial. I mean, a trial is a public spectacle of sorts. It's a chance for all of us to learn something more about Whitey Bulger. And we're robbed of that moment now. We could possibly learn about their life for 16 years on the run. We might even learn something about who helped them along the way. Now, those are goals. Those are dreams, perhaps.
Sure.
I think it's always been pretty unlikely that Catherine Gregg would ever talk.
Well, if she had gone on trial, what would she have likely been able to reveal? For example, you mentioned life on the road for 16 years, life on the lam for 16 years. Would she, for example, though, have been able to provide information about the murder and racketeering charges against Whitey Bulger?
Well, you're assuming that she would cooperate. If she had gone on trial, she would have been arguing her innocence. I don't think they would have gotten any cooperation. Any of the information would have come out through, I think, other witnesses, through the government's presentation of its case, whatever they've been able to assemble regarding their life on the road. And even if she did cooperate, to get back to your question, what does she know about, the racketeering case, which goes is built upon everything that Whitey did prior to becoming a fugitive? Her information would be focused largely with those 16 years on the run.
Which would have been fascinating, but maybe not necessarily instructive in terms of getting to the bottom of the Whitey Bulger case.
I think so. I mean, in my view, she's a sideshow to the main show of Whitey Bulger.
Well, as you mentioned, some of the family members, families that were allegedly victimized by Whitey Bulger, great disappointment to them. We're going to be hearing from one of them in a moment. But could the government have done more? I mean, evidently, Catherine Gregg didn't want to testify against her boyfriend, Whitey Bulger. Could the government have done more to compel her to testify?
Yes, they could. I mean, in their grab bag of tricks, they could have, presumably, if they'd gone to trial and they had won and Catherine Gregg was guilty, put her in front of the grand jury, given her immunity, which would have been controversial. If she still refused to testify, she would have done another 18 months. They could have applied those kinds of techniques, but to what end? It appears that Catherine Gregg was going to plead guilty, was not going to talk no matter what. So it would have been this exercise and this use of resources, again, to what end? They're not locked into any kind of sentence recommendation. They have a guilty plea. They can go into court and argue that she deserves the max under the guidelines, whatever they may be. There's been no deal on the sentence. So in many ways, they might be at the same point they would have been at the end of a trial that ended in a guilty verdict.
Very interesting. Well, Richard Lair, BU journalism professor and co-author of Black Mass. He's also working on a biography about Whitey Bulger. Thanks so much for coming in. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
All this represents a bitter pill for many in Boston to swallow, especially those whose family members were victims of Whitey Bulger.
And among them is Patty Donahue of Dorchester, whose husband Michael was allegedly murdered by Bulger before he went on the lam. Government prosecutors briefed Patty Donahue and other family members about Catherine Gregg's deal this week.
Could you just relate to us what the government told you about the nature of the deal?
Well, what they're doing is they're giving her a plea bargain, and they are taking all her charges that she had in California and then combining them all into her one charge of harboring a criminal. So it's probably 5 years for each charge, so you're looking at 15 years. I don't know whether they run in consecutive or not. They didn't say that one way or the other.
Well, she may go away for quite some time. I mean, 15 years is a substantial amount of time, particularly at her age.
I actually don't see that happening.
You don't?
I'd be very surprised. No, I'd be very surprised if she got 15 years. She also possibly would get time served. I would not be surprised if she doesn't do much time.
And what did they tell you about what she would have to do in terms of Whitey's trial?
She doesn't have to do anything.
Okay, she won't have to testify nothing. Against him.
She does not. She does not have to do a thing.
Well, you've had a few days to sit with this information now. Are you still angry about it?
Yes, I am. Huh. I feel as though this woman is a criminal, and she needs to be treated as a criminal. You know, this woman spent 16 years with this man. And there's a lot of things that she knows, I'm sure, that would be helpful in other situations, but she doesn't have to say anything. I mean, you know, myself and my family, we are so tired of plea deals. Everybody gets plea deals. Does anybody go away for things that they do? It doesn't seem to be that way. It seems like all the government does is just give everybody plea deals. I don't have very much faith in the justice system.
Well, have you thought about the idea that Catherine Gregg might be someone who is just as much under Whitey Bulger's thumb as any of the other people that he's manipulated his whole career?
No, I do not feel that way at all. This woman had a choice. This is the choice that she made. She knew how Whitey Bulger was before she got tied up with him, and she was tied up with him before they took off. So, no, I don't feel that way at all. I feel like she made her choice. And as my mother would say, you made your bed, now you lie in it.
Well, ma'am, I appreciate you taking the time to talk with us again. Thank you so much.
Okay, thank you.
Have a nice day. Bye-bye.
You too. Bye-bye.
Patty Donahue's husband, Michael, was allegedly gunned down by Whitey Bulger in South Boston in 1982.